The more I learn Rabbi Nachman, it's funny. People often think that Chassidus makes the life of a Jew easier. On a superficial level, Chassidus comes to, you know, to give you a little pat on the cheek when you're feeling down. That's what people often think Rabbi Nachman is. Rabbi Nachman puts such unbelievable achrayas on us in such a healthy way, so much responsibility. And the more I learn Rabbi Nachman, while he's encouraging with his right hand and giving us a hug, he's also challenging us, you know, he's pushing us a little bit with his left hand. I think that's it's a healthy balance. You see the same thing by the Piazetzner Rebbe, which also explains, you know, for those of us who are connected to Rav Moshe Weinberger Shlita, Reish Kodesh, whose life is and teachings are so much informed by Rabbi Nachman, by the Piazetzner Rebbe, it's the same thing. It's the same thing of where the Piazetzner Rebbe, if you've learned his Svarim, the Chovas HaTalmidim, he's so loving in this unbelievably sincere way, and at the same time, he's so demanding. He expects us to be big people. And that's what I love about Rabbi Nachman. I think he strikes that balance perfectly, to be able to be mechazik us, but to also to challenge us to be real, as I think we've seen in the pieces we've learned so far. Okay, so let's see. With that introduction, let's see if we can understand. And again, I hope I'm not leading the witness, but this is how I want to explain Os Samach Gimel and Sichas Haran. And again, there's many nekudos that come out of this piece. B'chol medina u'medina yesh davar shechashuv ba'osa ha'medina. In every single locale, in every country, in every province, in every place, there are things that are given great chashivas. In every society has its thing or its things that are put on a pedestal, and this is what's important. This is what we need to focus on. V'teichav kishemaschil oso adavar, and immediately, as soon as that thing begins, meaning as soon as that movement takes off, so to speak, or that idea takes hold, or that thing becomes popular, and everyone wants to own it, or everyone wants to be involved in it. Whatever the trend is, I mean, he's not really talking about objects or possessions. He's talking about ideas and attitudes and lifestyles. Immediately, yesh bo tov v'ra. We should recognize, right, that there's good and there's bad. In the sense that what we're going to learn today is that sometimes too much of a good thing actually becomes a bad thing. Or there could be an idea or a something, let's just call it a something for now, because we don't really know what we're talking about yet. There could be a something that's rooted in a truth, but that truth can become perverted very easily. And it becomes difficult at times to distinguish what is the line between the truth as a truth, the tov shabo, versus the chelek hara, versus the negative part of it. Because again, it's easy to describe something and to paint something, to paint a picture of something, but it oversimplifies the fact that, you know, too much of this thing is actually not a good thing. Okay? V'hatov hu ma'at, v'hara hu shave mamish b'chol tnuos el hatov. That good might be very small, might be very nuanced, and immediately the ra, the negative, that thing, it is shave mamish b'chol tnuos el hatov. It could look exactly like, the tnuos means the movements. It looks superficially exactly like the good version of it. Kidei shelo yeh nikar ben hatov uben hara, to the point that the undiscerning eye is not able to distinguish between the good version and the bad version of it. They sound the same. They use the same slogans or catchphrases. Right? They present themselves in the same way. V'oso adavar holech v'choshuv ad hasof. And that thing will continue to what? To become put on that pedestal of, this is the most important thing. And it becomes the trend. It becomes the trend of the time. What was Rabbi Nachman talking about in his time? He's talking about tzaddikim and bal moifsim. He's talking about people who claim to be miracle workers. In some parts of the world, the notion of a miracle worker is laughed at. In other parts of the world, the notion of a miracle worker is given great respect. And there are, yes, there are a handful of real miracle workers. There are truly individuals who are tzaddikim amitim, true tzaddikim. But it's also easy, once that concept takes hold in the world, that there could be such a thing as a true tzaddik, as a true miracle worker. There's a danger of many phonies trying to jump on the bandwagon and trying to mimic the behaviors of the tzaddik. Right? So they see that the tzaddik wears a long coat and the strimal. So you could also wear a long coat in this travel. What's the distinction between your Purim costume and a real Rebbe? And the answer is, well, to a person who's paying attention, hopefully the difference becomes obvious. But to a simpleton who's not able to be mechalik, sometimes a person falls for the deception of those who are wearing the garments of the tzaddikim, so to speak, and I'm not just talking about the physical garments, who are presenting themselves as pious, as righteous, as loving, as caring, as helping. And really what they're doing is, God forbid, the very opposite. Kigon b'medina zu chashav baal shem. Rabbi Nachman says, in our part of the world, the notion of a baal shem. A baal shem, he says here, is a baal mofis, a miracle worker. A person, right? The baal shem tov, the baal shem tov. The baal shem tov is the real deal. But there's the danger of many fake baal shem tovs. Lo aleinu, Rachmana litzlan, Klal Yisrael had a travesty in the form of Shabtai Tzvi. False messianism is the most dangerous thing to the spirit of the Jewish people, who long with every breath for the coming of Mashiach. So what happens when a false prophet comes? What does the Torah say about false prophets? Right? What was that? What was the historical, you know, fallout from a Shabtai Tzvi, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro? Right? What was the damage, the damage to the soul of Klal Yisrael, to the spirit of Klal Yisrael? So in our part of the world, says Rabbi Nachman, a Baal Shem is a very chashuv thing. Uve emes hayukama bali shemos amitim tzadikim. And there are some true tzadikim who really, they do know things beyond this world. Right? Some of us were learning yesterday about how prior to the Chid Eitz Hadas, the senses were interchangeable. At Har Sinai, the senses were interchangeable. You could see with your ears and you could hear with your eyes. There are tzaddikim who could see things on the other side of the world. There's a story, the Chavetz Chaim was sitting one time with Rav Chanan Wasserman. It was Erev Yom Kippur, I believe. And they were learning together, which is a big chiddush, because who has time to learn on Erev Yom Kippur? But they were sitting together learning Bechavrusa. And the Chavetz Chaim all of a sudden says, oh, the Rav is a rois. The Rav went free. The Rav went out. Middle of that, imagine sitting there learning Bava Kama, all of a sudden, he looks up, the Rav went out. What Rav? Went out from what? What are you talking about? They found out that Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, who was held in captivity in Siberia, had been released that day. Right? It was nowhere near there. The Chavetz Chaim didn't just get a text on his phone, you know, in his WhatsApp group, informing him that Rav Yecheskel Abramsky had been freed from captivity. The Chavetz Chaim literally could see things on other parts of the world. Not such a chiddush to us. Because he's a big tzaddik, he's the real deal. But unfortunately, there are other people who claim to have magical powers. They can read your palm, right? They'll take your pidyon, they'll take your money, and they'll tell you all sorts of things about your future. And a lot of it's fake, and a lot of it's deceptive. So be'emes, says Rabbi Nachman, the ar bali shemos, the ar tzaddikim amitim, va'atan esrab b'harbe bali shemos shel sheker. But there's also a lot of people who, you know, You could pay $100 to come meet them, and they'll try to tell you about your life. And many of them are not real. Many of them are not real. They're going in the guise of a tzaddik, but many of them don't have the kochos. V'aklal shekol mi shirotze v'chafetz lichnos b'zeh lasok b'oso hadavar hachashu b'oso medina. And the rule is as follows. Anyone who wants to get involved in that profession that is considered desirable in that part of the world. So Rabbi Nachman said, in our part of the world right now, in the time period that Rabbi Nachman was living, there's a lot of people trying to set up shop, to be tzaddikim, and to have people come to support them. So if you do it in a part of the world where that idea is popular, it's much easier to be successful because people are in tune with that idea, with that ideology. And even though, again, a discerning eye would notice that this person is not the real deal, but because it's the trend, so people fall in, people buy in. Ki be'emes eina yodeya klum, rak sha'adavar hataloi bis'oris sholau eich shu mis'or v'chafetz ba'oso davar. The reality is, it depends on the way that the person presents himself. There's some very good, I don't know, I've seen, you know, maybe some of you, if I crowned one of you Rebbe and I put a strimal on your head, and I said, you're our Rebbe now, and we're all going to be loyal to you, right? Maybe you would know how to do Rebbesha things, you know? You could do Rebbesha Tnuos, like he said above, right? Tnuos, the movements of a Rebbe. Maybe you could sit there and you can close your eyes and put your hand on your head as you're sitting there, you know, taking a, a bite of Farfel before you give out Shirayim to the rest of the Shir. Maybe you could do the moves also. And maybe gullible people would say, wow, this guy's a real Rebbe. He looks like a real Rebbe. So it all depends on the Hisoiris. It all depends on how motivated the person is, you know, and how receptive people are to be makabel this hanhaga. V'gam tole b'hamakum shemaschil sham. It's all in accordance with the way that a person acts and what are the norms in that society. If you start pitching this idea in a place where people have bought into this idea, or Rabbi Nachman says women who are more quick to believe, amuna is more rooted by women. That's why if your mother's Jewish, you're Jewish, not if your father's Jewish. So women who are more believing in this way, so a person azay matzliach, a person will have great success. A person will have great success. Vaza yachol lihios misloitzitzim imenu veloya matzliach. Sorry, I skipped a line. Vaza yachol lihios she'achar kach yaminu bo gam osen shem rachokim ilahamin v'chazeh. And you know what? If enough people say it, and they say it loud enough, then even people who don't really believe it are going to start to believe it, or at least they're going to start to pretend to believe it, right? When the voice of the of public opinion becomes such that everyone says this is it, all of a sudden you start to change your own understanding of reality. You start to buy into things that you don't actually believe are true. But if the mob screams it loud enough, then maybe it's true. Or maybe you're too scared to take a different opinion. This same individual, had he started off with the people who are thinking clearly and have an ability to understand real tzaddikim and fake tzaddikim, this guy never would have gotten off the ground. But so to speak, he preyed on vulnerable people. He started with easy targets. But since he started in a place where people are quick to buy into this, where this idea is considered, you know, very holy, and people are willing to buy into it, and people believe in this idea, so then once it's become the norm, you're seen as a radical if you have a different opinion. You're seen as an outsider, as a non-believer, God forbid, if you have a difference of opinion. And then Rabbi Nachman says, that's a very dangerous thing. But imagine if you would have started in a different place. So Rabbi Nachman says, in my part of the world, the inyan of miracle workers and tzaddikim, that's the talk of the town over here. What would have happened if you went to a different part of the world where this idea had not taken root at all? What would have happened if you tried to show up as a miracle worker, yeah, in some yekesh shul? Right? What would have happened, he says, if you went to Medinas Ashkenaz? Forget, you know, running around the Ukraine and Poland and parts of Russia where Hasidus was taking hold. Let's say you would have gone to a part of the world where this idea was not yet ingrained, where the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, where this hanhaga, that this practice of these types of tzaddikim didn't exist in the world, and you showed up with your rebbe's entourage and tried to do your thing. She'ein lahem shum emuna b'balei shemos. These people over there, rational thinkers, they would have said, what are you talking about? We don't believe in miracle workers. We're too advanced for that. We're not going to fall for that. So if you try to become a Rebbe in that type of place, you're not going to have any success at all. People are not open to that idea. The only one who could win them over would be a real tzaddik, a real Rebbe, maybe, over time, could win them over to teach that he has a real way, a different way, which is a real way. But some phony, if he goes to a place where it's not normalized, where it's not accepted, it's never going to get off the ground. And the same thing is true in our territories. Things which are very chashiv and popular and easily received in our country, in our part of the world, are not received at all, are not taken at all, are not given any chashivas in other parts of the world. He says, for example, kigon b'medinas Yishmael. If you go to the Islamic lands, right? What do they call their leaders? Shnekram chachamim. Amongst the Medinas of Yishmael, right? The wise people are called sages, but they don't act in some rebbish way. They don't claim to be miracle workers. They're scholars. They're chachamim. Ve'ein lahem osan hagav agedula klal. They're not given the same esteem. They're not. People aren't eating their shirayim. People aren't asking them for brachos. They're respected for their wisdom. It's a totally different system. Valkane Medina Zoo. Kol mi sherotza lasok bezeh ulahanik bederach atzadikim kafi anog ata hu matzliach bezeh. Says Rabbi Nachman, but where we're from, there's a lot of people running around pretending to be rebbes. There's a lot of people pretending to be tzaddikim because in our part of the world we've seen real tzaddikim. We've encountered the real thing. And Rabbi Nachman concludes with a tefillah. Hashem yizbarach yigala ha'emes b'meher b'yamino amin. Hashem should help us to have the discernment to be able to distinguish between those who are true and those who are false. Because false ideas, if they get popular enough, after a period of time, people will start to believe things that under normal circumstances they never would have believed. B'medina shemeskablam shamoysum es nahegis b'derach zeh, ayideza ba'atzmo nasin lefamim moysim, ulefamim eino ola b'yado. And then he concludes with a point that I don't really want to focus on right now, but he says, and it's interesting, that in a part of the world where they accept miracles and they act in this way, ayideza ba'atzmo nasin lefamim moysim, sometimes that actually causes miracles to take place, ulefam eino ola b'yado, but sometimes not. So there is something, and we spoke about this last time, how your mind creates reality, right? We learned that in the earlier pieces of Rabbi Nachman. Your beliefs will shape reality. So Rabbi Nachman says, you know, there is such a notion of fake it till you make it, but primarily, and this is what I want to focus on, primarily in this piece, he's speaking against buying into sort of public opinion and accepting something as true just because it got popular, it got trendy. And a person has to daven to Hashem to be able to distinguish what is emes, what is sheker, because sometimes they look very, very, very similar. And that's a very scary idea. Okay? Chavra, usually I try to give you a whole bunch of sources to try to elaborate on Rabbi Nachman. I want to just share with you two things today. I want to share with you a piece from the late Rosh Yeshiva of Tells, Rav Elia Meir Bloch, Zatzal, in a little volume called Shi'urei Pnine Das. And then I want to use Rabbi Nachman in the Likutei Moharan to try to better understand this idea. And again, for those who are paying attention to the world, I think there's a lot to think about here. I'm not trying to force anyone to believe or not believe anything. I'm just pointing out that sometimes ideas become very well accepted, and there's not a critical mind that's challenging those ideas or processing those ideas. Okay, so let's see what Rav Bloch has to say. Let's see what he has to say about belief. Every single person in the world believes. Everyone in the world is a believer. It's just a question of what you choose to believe in. There's no one who doesn't believe in things. Everyone has their system of beliefs. Look what he writes. Im yesh anashim she'ena ma'aminim biyasodos ha'amuna. Now we have, as Jews, we have our beliefs. Our belief begins with Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We believe in God. We believe in a God who took us out of Mitzrayim. We believe that Hashem gave us a Torah. We believe in Tchiyas HaMesim, right? We believe in the ability to communicate. We believe in Nevuah. We believe in the Torah will be changed for a New Testament. Right? These are just some of our, you know, borrowing loosely from the Rambam's 13 principles. We believe in Shiach. Right? We have beliefs. We have a system of beliefs. And each one of those beliefs, there's a lot to think about. There's the basic acceptance of that belief, and then there's a lot of work that puts into that belief, to believe in Hashem and to really live with. But says Rav Elia Meir Bloch from Tells, Im yesh anashim she'enam ma'aminim biyasodos ha'amuna, if a person says, I don't believe in Torah, I don't believe in God, right? I don't believe, I reject belief systems. So we say to that person, really? You also have your beliefs. Everyone has beliefs. Everyone has things that they believe in. If you don't believe in Torah values or Torah principles, it's not that you lack faith. You also have emuna. You also believe in things. You just have different beliefs. You worship other gods. You claim you don't believe in God. You do believe in God. You believe in your man-made God. You have your own systems of beliefs. He says, for example, Afilo Rusia Hakafranis. Take Russia. Right? Take the ideology of Russia, right? That denies, that looks to obliterate. Take a communist approach to religion, right? Which seeks to blot out religion, which seeks to replace God with Stalin or Lenin or whatever. Or the motherland, whatever terms you want to use and whatever society you want to use. Asher hispara ba'azivas hadas. A country, a part of the world that takes great pride, an ideology that takes pride in abandoning faith, moving past God, replacing God with something else. Yasta uvanza das chadasha. But did they reject religion? They just created a different religion. They founded and built a new religion. What is their religion? Das hachumranut v'gam la yesh kahane das mishala. They created a religion of materiality, worship of chomer, of materialism, right? Materialism in the sense of harnessing the energies and directing, working collectively towards what? Towards using the earth. Right, worshiping again the motherland, whatever society, whether you want to use a German model or a Russian model, whatever it is, and they also have kahane das mishala, they also have their kohanim, so to speak, they also have their kohen gadol, right? His beis hamikdash may look a little different than our beis hamikdash. His kodesh kadashim is certainly different than our kodesh kadashim, but they also have their leaders who they worship. Shehi sogedes lahem, that they worship them, umamina bekocham, and they swear allegiance by them, uviskuloseyim ha'al tivios, and they believe as if that this individual somehow has powers that transcend the natural order. It's also a system of beliefs. Everyone believes. So what do you choose to believe in? Kol adam yeshlo amuna. Every person has amuna. Ki ha'emes shelo chayeves lanatzach. Or Lanatzeach, maybe. That his truth, his subjective truth, right? He's prepared to fight for that subjective truth. Ve'emuna zu nosenes bo koach lilchom. He's prepared to wage war. He's prepared to battle for that truth because he believes it so deeply. Va'afilu lahakriv atzmo lamana. And even to sacrifice himself for it. For the truth that he created. For the ideology that he formed. So don't tell me, says Rav Elie Meir Blach, that there are believers and non-believers in the world. Everyone believes. Everyone believes. Everyone believes in something that transcends logic or rational thought. Everyone has their systems of belief, and it's just a question of what you choose to believe in. And that's what Rabbi Nachman is warning us about. Be careful with your beliefs. Be careful that you don't just buy into an idea that's rooted in truth, and here I think is the main point I want to make, that Rabbi Nachman, I hope, is trying to make. It's easy to buy into an idea that's rooted in truth, but has totally lost itself. It's rooted in the emesdic truth, but has perverted itself completely. In other words, if you cling to a fake tzaddik, to a fake Baal Mofes, it's rooted in truth, because there are real tzaddikim, and there are real Baal Mofesim, and there are real Rebbes that can bring you close to Hashem. But if you cling to a perverted, corrupted version of that idea, so then you're clinging to Sheker. That's how dangerous it is, right? It's so similar. The Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDas, Tov V'Ra, may have been rooted, the tzaddikim say, as one tree. It could be that they sprouted from the same roots. You could have something which is so close to Emes, and it looks like Emes, and if you're not careful, you could fall into it and find out that, in fact, the whole thing was Sheker. Says Rav Elie Meir Blach, L'chein Amru Chazal, Chamura Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is so serious, so severe. Shekol HaKofer, so important. Shekol HaKofer Ba Kamoda B'chol HaTorah Kula. When a person rejects Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says it's as if he is Moda, as if he accepts the entire Torah. Why is that so? You read a Gemara like this, you say, really? Just because I don't bow down to idols, that means what? That I accept Shabbos? I accept Kibbut Aveim? I accept Taras HaMishpacha? I therefore believe that it's worthwhile to walk around with a lulav and esrog. Why is it that a person who rejects Avodah Zarah, it's as if he accepts the entire Torah? Why is that so? Maimer zeh, this teaching of Chazal, shu lechora bilti muvan, it's hard to understand. Misbar benemar le'el, we can explain based on the above. What is Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah, foreign worship. Ki Avodah Zarah eina madrega rechoka yoser mikfira batorah. It's not that Avodah Zarah is so extreme, it's more so than rejecting the Torah. Let's say I don't worship Avodah Zarah, but I reject all the principles of the Torah. Right? So is Avodah Zarah worse than that? It's not worse than that. But there's nothing, he says, there's nothing that moves me farther away from rejecting the whole Torah than believing in Avodah Zarah. when I buy in to Avodah Zarah, Memela, all of the Torah values will start to fall to the wayside. And therefore, me, listen carefully, me shemishtachrer me'avodah zarah, a person who's mishtachrer, who frees himself from the ideology of avodah zarah, a person who's able to think in a way that's sometimes different. We're mamish in these parshios. Noach took on the whole world. Okay, I'm going to tell you something I wasn't sure if I was going to. Let me share this idea today. This past Shabbos was the yard site of a tzaddik, Rav Moshe ben Yehuda Machir. Rav Moshe ben Yehuda Machir wrote a sefer called the Seder Hayom. It's a small little sefer. I left it upstairs. I have it upstairs. Rav Moshe ben Yehuda Machir lived in the time of, lived in Tzfas, in the period of the Arizal and Rav Yosef Cairo and the Alshech HaKadosh, the great Mekubalim and Tzaddikim of Tzfas about 500 years ago. And he writes in this sefer, in the Seder Hayom, which is a beautiful sefer. He's actually the first one. You want to know what he's famous for? He's the first one to put Moda'ani as we have it in print. Our version of Moda'ani Lefanecha that we say in the morning, hopefully upon opening our eyes. The Seder Hayom, whose yard site was this past Shabbos, was the first one to record that at the beginning of his sefer, that text of Moda'ani that we have. But it's a beautiful sefer. He goes through the Seder Hayom. He goes through the calendar year. He goes through many of the Halachos and Ashkafos that govern a life of a Jew. And he goes through some parish on tefillah. And he asks a question on one of the tefillos that we say in the morning. In your siddur in the morning, maybe you've said this. La'olam yehei adam yirei shamayim b'seisur b'galoy. Yeah, it sounds familiar. A person should always be God-fearing, right? B'seisur in private and in public. Nu, however, which one's a bigger chiddush? Is it a bigger chiddush to be God-fearing in private or in public? So he says, people ask on this tefillah, La'olam yehei adam yirei shamayim b'seisur, I get it. That's an important reminder as I start my day to remind myself I should always be God-fearing even in the privacy of my own home. There's no one there. No one knows what I'm doing. I'm in a locked room. I'm behind closed doors. No one sees me. I remind myself that Hashem is watching. That makes sense, no? Cover, that makes sense? Why do you need to say I should be Yari Shemayim Bigaloi? And I should also make sure that I act from when all my friends are watching. Of course I will. Of course I'll do the right thing when everyone's watching me. That's obvious. So he says, some people think we should change the text. You don't have to say Bigaloi. It's obvious. There's no chiddush in saying it. He said, some people want to change the text that it should say what? La'olam yehei adam yirei shamayim baseser kabagaloi. I want to be God-fearing in private just like I am when I'm in public. Okay, that would make sense. I should be as God-fearing in private kibagaloi, as I am when I'm in public. Okay, that makes sense. He says, yeah, don't change it. Leave it the way it is. La'olam yehei adam yirei shamayim. Person should always be God-fearing in private and in public. And if you'll tell me being God-fearing in public is not such a chiddush, is not such a big chiddush, obviously I'm going to do the right thing when everyone's watching. He says the tefillah doesn't always have to be a big chiddush. There's a stylistic way that tefillos are written. So if it says you should be God-fearing in private, it balances it out. You should be God-fearing in private, you should be God-fearing in public. Ein hachanami, it's a bigger chiddush to be loyal to Hashem when no one's looking, when only Hashem is watching. That's what he writes. But I was thinking about it this past Shabbos in the context of Parshas Noach. Noach did something which was so unbelievably unpopular. He spent 120 years building a boat. He was trying to be makariv people, to change their ways. How successful was Noach in those 120 years? Again, according to many, that's how long he spent building the boat. Not everyone, but according to many, that's how long he spent building the boat. Giving Musar Shmuzin, trying to encourage people. How successful was he? Not at all. Not one person joined Noah's family on the boat. That means for 120 years, Noah was espousing ideas that no one believed in, no one cared about. And they hated Noah so much, there was such animosity towards Noah. Maybe you saw Rashi this past Shabbos, that Noah entered the Teva be'etzem hayom hazeh in broad daylight. What does Rashi say? They said to Noah, if we see the mabul, if it actually happens, what you've been talking about for so long, if this mabul comes and you try to get on your boat, we're going to break your boat and we're going to kill you. They threatened Noach's life for his beliefs, for trying to tell them the way you're living your life is destroying the world. And they said, be quiet. Keep quiet, Noach. You go back to building your boat. And if this boat actually ever try to use it, we're going to smash your boat and we're going to kill you. And Hashem says, Noach, I want you to enter the Teva when? Be'etzem hayom hazeh, in broad daylight. I've got your back, Hashem says. They're not going to touch you. No one's going to break your boat. No one's going to threaten your life. You're going to go into the boat. You're going to sail off to safety. And the world is going to be destroyed. So Noach was courageous in the sense that he believed something that no one believed in. What about Avram Avinu? No, chevra, now we're entering into the parsha of Avram Avinu, parshas Lech Lecha. Avram Avinu, unbelievably unpopular. Avram HaIvri. Avram HaIvri, he was on the side of the world, and the whole world was on the other side of the Avra Hanar. He's on the other side of the river. Right? He saw things differently. Echad Haya Avraham, like the Navi calls him. He was a one of a person. He was all alone in his ideology. But he didn't care because he had Hashem on his side. And therefore, anyone who rejects, anyone who's kofir b'avodah zarah, false ideologies of the time, and what Rabbi Nachman is warning us is be careful, because sometimes false ideologies come in a language of truth, they're rooted in the kernel of a true idea. Be careful with that. When you reject the false ideologies of the time, it becomes so easy to believe in Torah. El ha'amun b'avodah zarah, when you believe in avodah zarah, that is the siba yachida l'kfir b'torah. That is the primary way that a person comes to reject Torah. But if you free yourself from the avodah zarah of the time, whatever it may be, and again, here he's speaking against, you know, communism. He's speaking whatever it is that each society faces, whatever has become the, you know, the soundbite of the generation. If you free yourself to think, what does Hashem want? Mameila hu moda b'chol ha'torah kol ha'torah kula. Then a person comes to what? A person comes to live and to admit to the entirety of the Torah. Shekoli karona amuna, the entire principle of amuna hukach, hu kol kach muvan me'elav, because amuna is so natural. It's so easy to believe. V'kol kach kosher organis, b'yeshuso shel adam. It's so organic for a person to believe in Hashem. But if you confuse your mind, if you buy into all sorts of avodah zarahs, so then believing in anything real becomes impossible. Acherak emuna kozeves, only a false emuna. When you replace real emuna with a fake emuna, b'kocha la'adiach me'amuna se'emes, it has the ability to push away the true emuna. Uveshum ponim lo chosra emuna, but there's no one in the world who lacks emuna. Everyone has emuna. Every single person has emuna. Gad echad migdolei ha'filosofim ba'olam kvar hochiach es ha'uvda. One of the great philosophers has already proven the fact. She'ein chaseire emuna klal v'ikar. There is no one who doesn't have beliefs. Everyone has a system of beliefs. Yesharak toim be'emunasim. But some people have wrong beliefs. Everyone believes in something. And therefore, says Rav Elia Meir Blach, and he's really writing, the whole Maimer is really in the context of Jewish suffering and trying to understand why we've suffered so much as a people. But this is his introduction to the whole piece, that we have to wake up and we have to start to realize what is it that Jews believe and stand proudly by those beliefs. Ha'achzavot hamarot, the bitter disappointments. Mikol mine avodah zarah. We thought that this system or that system is going to provide the answer. The only system that's going to provide the answer is Torah, chevra. All the other systems, all the other ideologies, they're not going to work. Asher ha'noshis b'chlal va'am ha'yehudi b'prat sogdu lehem, which the world at large has worshipped, and the Jewish people in particular, have fallen into a lot of the isms, right? A lot of the isms of history. Tzrichos lios be'etzem pri sivloseinu v'tzaraseinu. We need to realize that a lot of our hardship, a lot of our suffering is simply because we got swept up with these wrongful ideologies. Come back to simple truths. Come back to Torah. Mitoch kach aleinu lavo lidei hoda b'chol haTorah kula. If we would just reject these false ideas, we would come to a clarity in what our lives are supposed to be. Okay? Chavra, last but not least, I want to learn together for a few more minutes a piece of Likutei Moran. From one Rabbi Nachman to another piece from Rabbi Nachman. This is a very famous Torah. It's one of my favorite Torahs to share and to learn. I think the ideas in it are unbelievably true. It's very deep. We would need an hour just to read this piece. Okay, we're not going to do that. I'm going to do another 10 minutes or so, maybe even less, just to tie up this loose end. But Rabbi Nachman again warns us. Our mind, as we learned last week, the koach of our mind, of our speech, of our actions, it's real stuff. It changes the world. And we have to be very careful knowing what we say, what we do, and what we believe in. And Rabbi Nachman says the human mind, for all of its glory and all of its power, can get a person into so much trouble if you don't think straight. And the Torah keeps us thinking straight. The Torah is Yashar, like the Maharal talks about all the time. It's the essence of Yashrus. We're called Yisrael, Yashar. We got to keep our heads on straight. Says Rabbi Nachman, in the famous Torah, it's called Ayeh, Ayeh Mekom Kavodo, is the name of this Torah. It's in the Tinyana, it's in the second section of Likutei Moran, the 12th piece, Torah Yud Beis. Kisha Adam Holech Achar Sichlo. If you've never learned this piece of Torah, please, Chara, lock in. It's such a beautiful and important piece of Torah. Kisha Adam Holech Achar Sichlo V'Chachmaso. When a person follows his way of thinking, when a person makes his own gods in his mind, when a person follows his own logic and his own wisdom, Yuchal Lipol B'Ta'usim U'Mecholos Rabim V'Levo Lidei Ra'os Gedolos. A person could come to stumble and make terrible, terrible mistakes and create great evil in the world. What's so amazing, on a day when the United States of America is going to confirm a new Supreme Court justice, right? It's amazing to think about, again, the conflict that she faces in trying to be emistic about American law and reconciling that with her own faith. As a Jew, I find that to be a fascinating idea. Could we implement something as a matter of policy for the world, even if it's not true for ourselves? There's a lot to think about there. There's a lot to talk about there, right? But that conflict that she faces, you know, between her personal beliefs and deciding what does American law allow for, is a very interesting conflict, right? Could she stand behind a value that she believes that God is actually against? Right? And could we do the same? So it's fascinating to think about. So when a person follows their own intellect, their own ideas, and they drift away from godly ideas, so a person could make terrible, terrible mistakes, chas v'shalom. V'yesh shekilkulu harbe. And there are those who cause great destruction. In the name of holiness, by the way. In the name of great values. Kegon harisham hagidolim ma'ud hamufursamim. Like the very well-known wicked ones, who are very well known in the world. Shehitu es ha'olam, v'hakol haya al yedei chachmasam v'sichlam. That they what? That they led the world astray through their own what? Through their own ideas, through their own ideologies. Right? They created new movements, and much chorban has come from that. Much chorban has come from that. We don't have to be embarrassed to admit it's a historical reality that many Jews have been killed throughout history in the name of Christianity, right? In the name of other religions. The Jewish people have been targeted as a fulfillment of some religious ideal, right? Which was created by human beings, created by man. So therefore, Rabbi Nachman warns us, be very, very careful. Ideas are very powerful. And look what he writes here, underline it. V'ikar hayadus. What is the essence of Yiddishkeit? Chaver, it's not so complicated. The essence of being a Jew is leilech b'tmimus u'b'pshitus, is to walk with wholesomeness and simplicity. B'li shum chachmos. Don't be such a chacham. Don't be too smart for your own good. It'll only move you farther and farther away from Hashem. U'l'yistakel b'chol davar sha'osa. Look simply at everything you do and ask yourself the following question. Shiyesh sham Hashem yizbarach. Does the thing that I'm about to do bring God into the world or not? Am I voting for God or am I voting against God? I'm not talking about whether or not you're voting in this election, even though I think you should vote. I think it's important to vote. But am I voting for God? Am I voting against God? Are my value systems supporting the movement that Hashem started at Har Sinai or not? It's as simple as that. And don't come up with fancy svaras to explain why, maybe in some roundabout way, this fits with Torah. Keep it simple. What does Hashem say? What does Hashem want? Shiyeh sham Hashem yizbarach. Is Hashem present in the decisions that I'm making in my life? Is this a value that Hashem stands by? And it's not always easy. I'm not trying to oversimplify it. Rabbi Nachman is saying a little bit, try to oversimplify it. Because when you make it too complicated, you get lost. Don't let it be about your own honor or your own desires. If this thing that you're going to do, this idea that you're espousing, does it bring honor to Hashem? Yes or no? If yes, do it. V'im lav, lav. And if not, run far away from it. V'azai b'vadai lo yikashel la'olam. And if you do this, if a person does this, lo yikashel la'olam, you'll never stumble at all. You'll never mess up. Now, Chevra, I want to just end. I'm not going to do. There's no time. I can't do this whole piece. It's a great Torah. We don't have time for it right now. But let me just end on a positive note, because sometimes, you know, the Avodah Zarah voice of the world seems a lot louder than the Torah voice of the world. That happens sometimes. It happens many times throughout history, where Hashem's voice is drowned out, and Hashem, for some reason, remains quiet. Hashem remains quiet. He's like waiting for that right moment to reveal himself in the world. Jews are suffering 210 years of Mitzrayim until Hashem finally comes and brings the Makos and takes us out of Mitzrayim. Hashem waited 2,448 years to give the Torah at Har Sinai. It's been 2,000 years almost since we had a Beis HaMikdash. So why does Hashem wait? Why does Hashem wait it out when the world at times looks like it's falling apart, like it's losing its way? And the answer is, and again, we don't have time to explain it at length now. It's a very deep idea and it's a beautiful idea. You have to understand that even when it looks like Avodah Zarah is taking hold in the world, and again, Avodah Zarah doesn't mean bowing down to idols. When false ideologies seem to be much stronger than simple Torah truths, you should remind yourself that Hashem is still in charge. Let's just do one more line. Rabbi Nachman concludes, and even if, he says, and even if, va'afilu kishenofel, and even when you stumble, even when you started worshiping a false tzaddik, right? Even when you started believing in someone, you thought this person was a big tzaddik, and you realized Shabtai Tzvi was a manipulative individual who didn't believe in Torah and didn't believe in truth and was going around as a false messiah. And the fallout of Jews who experienced that was what part of the fear of the Baal Shem Tov was about. They said, is the Baal Shem Tov the real deal, or is another false messiah? Even when you've stumbled and you bought into the wrong ideologies, and then you wake up and you realize, you know what, this is wrong. I'm not living in accordance with Hashem and Torah. Even if a person falls, chas v'shalom, lisvekos, he loses that simple truth that Rabbi Nachman is describing here, the ikar hayados, the simple truth of knowing what Hashem wants. When you become all mebulbal and you don't know right from left and wrong from right, and you're all confused, v'yeshen efilaso gedola ma'od ma'od rachmana litzlan, even if you fall in such a way that you start to question whether or not that simple truth that there is a Rabbonu shel Olam, you're not even sure if you believe in God, shenofel lisvekos v'herhurim, u'mehaher achar Hashem yisparach, to the point that you're not even sure if you believe in Hashem anymore, afal pichein, Rabbi Nachman says, don't panic. And again, I don't have time to explain to you why he says don't panic, but he says don't panic. Afal pichein, hanefila v'hayirida, hitachlis ha'aliyah. You should realize that the setback, whether it's a personal setback, or it's a communal setback, or it's a world setback, and it seems like we're moving farther and farther away from Mashiach, not closer and closer and closer to Mashiach, you should realize that the Yerida is Letachas Aliyah. Sometimes you have to fall really hard before you're able to wake yourself up. Imagine, Lo Aleinu, Chas V'Shalom, a person is struggling with drug addiction, right? And a person is dabbling with some bad stuff, or he's struggling with an alcoholic addiction or gambling addiction, right? And it's not like so bad, but it's bad. It's messing up his life. And he's in and out of, rehab or trying to get the help that he needs. And imagine something happens where he makes a really, really horrible mistake. The person's involved in some type of behavior that mamish, he almost lost his life. Or he almost lost all of his money. Or something really terrible happens. He's fallen lower than he's ever fallen before. But you know what's going to happen? You know what hopefully is going to happen? That guy's going to wake up and he's going to say, wow, I really need to get some help. I gotta solve this problem. I have drifted so far away from where I want to be. So Rabbi Nachman says sometimes the world has to fall apart in order to realize that these false gods are not the answer. Sometimes we have to believe in and keep hoping in these, believing in all these Avodah Zarah ideologies until the whole thing crumbles down. And then out of those ruins, the Yerida is Letachlis Aliyah. Then we wake up to the real truth and we come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Chevra, I think this is a very important and relevant Torah that Rabbi Nachman is teaching us today. Again, to be able to distinguish between what is true and what is false. It's not always easy. It's not always easy. And it's not always popular. The opinion of Hashem is not always popular in the world. But you just got to hang on. V'tischak liyom achron. As we say, V'tischak liyom achron. We're going to get the last laugh. If you stick with Hashem, you're going to win. Hashem's going to say to Noach, you're going into the Teva. I don't care if people like it or not. Avram Avinu, they can throw you into a fiery furnace. They're not going to stop you. Because your fiery belief in Hashem is much stronger than any fiery furnace. That's what we learn in these parshios. So Hashem should give us the strength to make the right decisions.
So from the beginning, it just...